Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Granta Raj, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Giri Raj, Maharaj ki, Jai Nithai Goprem. Okay. Okay, so tonight we'll begin chapter 54. What is chapter 54? Marriage of Krishna and Rukmini. Then we'll go from verses 1 to 20. Shukadeva Goswami said, having thus spoken, all those infuriated kings donned their armor and mounted their conveyances. Each king, bow in hand, was surrounded by his own army as he went after Lord Krishna. The commanders of the Yadava army, seeing the enemy racing to attack, turned to face them and stood firm, O king, twanging their bows. Mounted on the backs of horses, the shoulders of elephants and the seats of chariots, the enemy kings, expert with weapons, rained down arrows upon the Yadavs like clouds pouring rain on mountains. So we're seeing here the sheer power of the Yadu dynasty. These are the associates of Krishna himself. So because they're so powerful, Jarasandha and all of these Maharathis, Adirats, very powerful warriors, they're raining down arrows upon the Yadu dynasty. Now the Yadus have only brought a small army. They're not bringing an army the size of the opposition, like Jarasandha, and each one has brought his own army. And they're raining. I mean, Jarasandha, warriors like this, they can shoot thousands of arrows simultaneously. It says in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, during the battle, then they could chant mantras, and then one arrow would be released, and then suddenly it would disperse into many arrows, and then it would just, like a shower, would just go rain down. So all of these great warriors are just raining arrows upon the Yadu dynasty. But it's just like rain coming onto a mountain. It's so powerful that they can disperse the arrows. There's a incident in the Mahabharata where Arjuna and the Pandavas, after the House of Luck was burnt down, they had to escape and then they were hiding. So they were walking and at night time they came towards a river. And Arjuna was in the front and he was holding a torch, like a flame. So he's holding the torch, and there was a Gandhava, and the Gandhava was taking bath in the river. And then he heard the Pandavas coming towards the river, and it was night time. And because he was enjoying with some of his female associates, so he felt that they were disturbing. So he took one of his celestial arrows, and with his bow he just fired it, shot it straight at Arjuna. And Arjuna, just with the torch, he just flicked the arrow away. This shows how powerful these warriors are. So, even though there's so many thousands of arrows being fired upon the Yadu dynasty, but they're so powerful, they're just deflecting or in whatever way they can. They're not being disturbed. So it's like a mountain which is not being disturbed by all of the volley of arrows which is coming. So this shot just shows the power of Krishna's army and his personal associates. Any points?
Actually, Jarasandha knew the power of Lord Krishna. He told, you know, the Yavana king that he's so powerful that his chakra disperses everything.
Any other points? No. Slender-waisted Rukmini, seeing her lord's army covered by torrents of arrows, shyly looked at his face with fear-stricken
eyes.
In response, the lord laughed and assured her, "Do not be afraid, beautiful-eyed one. This enemy force is about to be destroyed by
your soldiers."
Yogi?
To express his great affection for Rukmini, Lord Krishna gallantly referred to his own Yadava army as Yomen, indicating that the Lord's entire dynasty was now property of his beloved queen. The Supreme Lord, Krishna, desires to share his blissful opulences with all living beings, and thus he sincerely invites them to come back home, back to Godhead. The Krishna consciousness movement introduced throughout the world by Srila Prabhupada on the order of his spiritual master Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who himself preached all over the world on the order of his exalted father Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is broadcasting the loving message of Lord Krishna. Remember him, serve him, return to him, and share in the infinite bounty of kingdom of God.
Any points?
Lord is ready to do everything for us. He just helped us everything.
Any other points?
Krishna wants to give us the spiritual one.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good.
Lord Krishna sincerely loves all of us. He has no enemies because we are all his children. And he openly invites everybody. But we don't want to go.
Yeah, so the basic principle of Krishna consciousness is that we should take the best of everything, we should offer that to Krishna. Whenever you offer something, it should be the best. Sometimes you see people, they offer like very cheap things to Krishna. And they think that Krishna is somehow, you know, it's somehow they can make a deal with Krishna. I don't know what the mentality is. If you can't offer the best thing, I mean, we're devotees. I mean, maybe the guests who come to the temple, they do something else. But as devotees, we should always offer the best thing to Krishna. Whatever is the best thing at our disposal, offer that. And as much as you can to Krishna. That's the basic principle. And then we take prasad. The Yadu dynasty, because Rukmini has surrendered to Krishna, then Krishna has said, now this is your army. Krishna gives us everything. Whatever he takes, we offer the best thing to him. But then, once he accepts it, he gives it back to us. So we get the best prasad. Now we have to be very careful what the mentality is while we're preparing the offering. Because you see sometimes devotees are preparing the offering. They buy very nice ingredients. They offer it to Krishna. But then in the consciousness, there's the mentality, oh, I can't wait till Krishna's finished eating because then I can enjoy that. Right? But that's materialistic consciousness. But sometimes we slip into that thing where we think, I hope Krishna eats very quickly because then we can enjoy. So that's the material. And we see within the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are examples. What's an example? Madhavendra Puri, right? Then when he went through, what's that town before you get to
Puri?
What is it?
Remunadhan.
Remuna?
Where the key was the noble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that Remuna? Okay.
Remuna.
Yeah, just before you get to Puri. So then the sweet rice was famous at that place. So in the mind he thought, I wish I could taste the sweet rice. But then he chastised himself. He was only thinking, I could taste the sweet rice, then I know how to cook for my deity, that sweet rice. But then he thought to himself, I'm thinking about the sweet rice before it's been offered to the Lord. So we have to be careful in our mentality. Prabhupada says, don't let the spirit of sense gratification enter in the name of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we do that. No? We offer something to Krishna, but we think, oh yeah, that's good because then I will get it back. We say, oh, I'm cooking opulent offerings for Krishna, and say, but it's really the mentality for us. We have to be careful of that consciousness. Because you'll get it back anyway. Right? You offer something opulent to Krishna and you're thinking it's for me. You offer it to Krishna, he'll give it back to you. There's no problem with that. But you won't develop love for Krishna. And that consciousness won't become purified. Madhavendra Puri was thinking, I can't even think of the offering before it's offered to Krishna. No? And he didn't have any material motive. No? But still he had that consciousness and mentality. So we have to be careful. Prabhupada said, be careful that the spirit of sense gratification doesn't enter in the name of Krishna consciousness. We have to be careful. Because as the movement becomes more powerful, more successful, we get more material facility. And then we get more material facility, and then we think, oh, I can enjoy some myself. So we have to be careful of the mentality. So Rukmini, she offered everything to Krishna, fully surrendered to Krishna. And then Krishna says, now everything that belongs to me now belongs to you. My army, it is your army. Now this is a very intimate exchange, and actually this is what all of us are looking for. The Bhagavatam is for Rasika devotees. You remember the first three verses back in Canto 1? Canto 1, chapter 1, first three verses. It says that the Bhagavatam is specifically for Rasika Vaishnavas. What does Rasika mean? One who relishes rasa. Right. Now this is what we're looking for. I mean, at least myself, in my soul, I know this is what I'm looking for. Right? I'm looking for a perfect, intimate relationship with someone. And we can't find it in this material world. There's no one in this material world who can completely satisfy me. Right? The only person who can completely satisfy me is Krishna. Or the pure devotee. The pure devotee can also satisfy me. But Krishna is even unique. Because he can fully satisfy. So that is what we're looking for. So when you surrender to Krishna, you worship him intimately from your heart, then what does Krishna do? He reciprocates. So he says to Rukmini very intimately, this is all yours now. So how would she feel hearing those words from Krishna? He captures her heart. Everything I have, it belongs to you. Just like sometimes, you know, amongst devotees, we have those kind of exchanges where some devotee says, and they capture your heart by their selflessness. Just like for the last 5 years or so, when I come to Melbourne to teach, then I stay with Krishna Kataprabhu. So they look after me. No, I used to stay with Sri Chaitanya. And I used to stay with Jogeshwar. Govindapu also. I stayed different devotees sometimes. So I stayed with Krishna Kataprabhu. Then he said, you can't stay anymore. He's going to move houses. He's going to move across the world. So I said, we don't have room in here. He said, I'm sorry, but we don't have room. I said, no problem. You know, Krishna will. But then some devotees, when they found out, they said to me, you come and stay with us. And I know they've only got two rooms, and they've got two kids and two adults, right? And two rooms. And they said, you come and stay. And I said, I can't come and stay. You got two kids in one room, you got two adults. Where am I going to sleep? where am I going to sleep? They said, no, we'll all move into one room, you can have the other one. Right? So they captured my heart. Because it's so selfless. They said, we'll do that for you, no problem. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that because that's not practical. I'm not going to go make you all do that. But just by the sentiment. So then I knew those devotees, they would do anything for me. So then I will do anything for them. That is the move. So Krishna, he captures Rukmini's heart. This is all yours now. Because she has captured his heart, he has captured her heart. And that's the loving exchange. That's what rasa means. That's what the Bhagavatam is about. It's that exchange of love between Krishna and Krishna's devotees. And it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Adi Lila, this loving competition continues unlimitedly. Because when Krishna sees that the devotees are so happy in serving him, their happiness increases and his happiness increases. And when they see him happier, they're happy to sing. And then it says it's like a competition, which just continues.
Mm-hmm.
And it says there is no winner. The gopis and Krishna, no one ever... But they're always, Krishna is happy and we're happy like that. That is the nature of love. Love is selfless. We must understand that point. It is unmotivated and uninterrupted. That is actual love. Just like yesterday was Kadamba Kanan Swami's Vyasa Puja. So we had program. So I came for the program. Because I'm part of the family now. So I married into the family. So I went tomorrow. So my wife was writing her offering last few days before the Vyasa Puja. So she was reading different things to get inspiration. And then she's reading from Gaur Govinda Maharaj, who is speaking about Guru Tattva. And Maharaj was emphasizing this, that you can only capture Krishna. This is what the Guru teaches us. What does Guru teach us? He teaches us how to capture Krishna. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I'm simply running behind you saying, Krishna is yours, give him to me. The Guru, he teaches us how to capture Krishna, because the Guru has captured Krishna. So he can teach us how to capture Krishna. So Gaur Govinda Maharaj says, how do you capture Krishna? You have to chant the holy name, but without motivation. Simply just chant. Not chanting because I have to chant these rounds, I must finish these rounds, I've been given an order to finish these rounds, or whatever our motivation is in chanting, or Krishna, I want something, or Krishna, relieve my suffering, or whatever it is, why we chant. But simply, Maharaj is saying, just chant, for no other reason than to give Krishna satisfaction. That's unmotivated, uninterrupted. And that captures Krishna. Krishna's waiting. And then we were sitting there yesterday at the program, and Dina Daya Prabhu is sitting next to me, and then Akanda Prabhu is sitting. And then Dina Dayal's daughter, she started crying. And there must have been, another 5 or 10 kids there, right? So when I heard that, I don't know which kid it is, I don't know which kid, but he immediately jumps up and runs. And I said to Akanda Prabhu, I said, see, that's just like what Prabhupada taught us. Prabhupada says that when the child cries, the parent knows exactly that's my child. So Krishna is waiting for us to chant in such a way that he will say, oh, and then immediately he'll reciprocate. But at the moment, our chanting is not like that. Our chanting is, I don't know, something mixed. But when the chanting becomes pure, then Krishna is captivated. So Rukmini, she is chanting purely, she's capturing Krishna. When you capture Krishna, you get Krishna's army.
Mm-hmm.
You get everything. You get the whole spiritual world. It becomes yours. Once you capture Krishna, it gives you everything. And as Hridayananda Maharaj is pointing out in the purport, Krishna wants to give us the spiritual world. He wants us to come to the spiritual world. But to come to the spiritual world, you have to let go of the material world. Right? And how will we let go of the material world?
Mm-hmm.
When you become sincere, Krishna will make it so unpleasant for you, you will have to let it go. Your life will become completely miserable. Just I was speaking to some devotees yesterday, Vyasa Puja. Last 9 months they went through so much. Many of you know. They went through so much. Their house down there, somewhere in the western suburbs, and then some complication happened and they thought they were going to lose the whole property. 9 months of anxiety, had to go to court, all these things. In the end they got the property, but they had to spend, they didn't get the court costs. That was just, several thousand dollars compared to what was on the line. So 9 months of complete anxiety, right? So we were all laughing together yesterday. I was saying, this is the material world. You have to suffer like this to let go. And I said to them, if you didn't learn your lesson this time and you didn't become properly detached, Krishna will do it to you again.
More intensity.
With more intensity. And the wife is going, oh no. But this is the nature of the material world. Krishna will keep pushing you until you let go. You will not stop. Why does he do that? Out of love.
That is love.
Just like with the kids, sometimes you have to be, hey, heavy. Just like today's first day of school, kids just had 2 weeks holiday. So my daughter, I said to her yesterday, she's having problem in the morning at the before school finish, getting up in the morning. Right, and then she gets up late and then everything becomes a rush and yeah, then my wife starts and then there's a whole leela going on. I'm just trying to read the Bhagavad Gita. Like that. So I said to her yesterday, I said, we're not doing that. Right? We're not doing that. But I got a little bit heavy. I said, I want peace in the morning. I don't want all this crazy. So she got up this morning because I got heavy, and she got up this morning completely perfect. And I was driving into the bus stop and I said, thank you. I said, this is how I want it to be. And she said, I want to show you that I could do it. I had to get a bit heavy though. If I didn't get heavy, it wouldn't work. So Krishna sometimes has to get heavy to make us act properly. Of course, tomorrow I don't know what will happen. I came back and I said to my wife, I said, she was so good this morning. He said, yeah, but we'll see tomorrow. It's good having kids. Children make you detach from the material world. You lose all your attachment to this material world.
Yeah, but they attach you to it.
What is that?
They attach you to
it. Yeah, they attach you to it. That's true. Mm-hmm. Any points?
Well, when you said I was Madhyamapuri, actually our Guru Maharaj also said that. No, yeah, that's right. Bhakti Siddhanta Swami Saraswati, he wanted to eat the mango, and then he felt so bad. Then he left, he never ate the mango again. You know?
Any other points?
Would you use regarding that?
Offering thing, I just want to show him the same thing. Yeah, same thing. Any other point? Okay. The heroes of the Lord's army, headed by Gada and Sankarsana, could not tolerate the aggression of the opposing kings. Thus, with iron arrows, they began to strike down the enemy's horses, elephants, and
chariots.
So, who is mentioned in the verse? Sankarsana. What's his other name?
Balaram.
Mm-hmm. Who is he? Supreme Personality of? Servant to Godhead. So he is serving Krishna. So he's showing us how to serve Krishna. So if Krishna is attacked, what do we do? We defend. Prabhupada said one time in America, like when Prabhupada was on the planet, some bikies, Hell's Angels, you know these people? Not good people. They drive motorbikes and gangs like this. They attacked one of our temples when Prabhupada was here in America. Prabhupada wasn't there, but they attacked. And I can't remember how it all finished, but some of the devotees hid, you know, because they were attacking and like that. And then when they informed Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, you should be prepared to die for the deity. In protecting the deity, you should give up your life if necessary. That was Prabhupada's instruction. So same thing. If Krishna is being attacked, we will defend. So Balaram is Supreme Personality of Servant to Godhead. He's showing us. He's the Adi Guru, the first spiritual master. So he's showing us. Krishna is being attacked, then we will defend. Right? Krishna doesn't need defense, but that's how we feel. Right? If someone's attacking the deities or the temple or the devotees, we will attack. Any point?
When happened to the Bombay temple was attacked devotees, protector devotees.
Yeah, what was his name? Mr. Sethi, was it?
Mr. Nair.
No, not Nair. No, the... Sethi, right? Yeah. Yeah, he's an older man. He's a friend of Prabhupada. Prabhupada liked him very much, and he helped us in the early days in securing the land. And he told Prabhupada, you know, they had the problem between the Hindus and the Muslims. So that was like 1970. He was helping Prabhupada defend the Juhu land. But back in that time, when was the Hindus and the Muslims? 40s or 50s or something? 47, yeah. So there was some rough. So he was Hindu man. He used to carry a sword. He was walking down the road. Some Muslims came out to attack him. So he took out the sword and he cut off their head. Cut the head off. And the other Muslims saw him and ran. So he told Prabhupada that story. Prabhupada was, and Prabhupada said he is real Kshatriya. So then those people, Mr. Nair was sending people to attack our land, so they said at night there was a warning. Some people came and said, tonight many will come and they will attack, like gundas. So Mr. Sethi, he went there with his son, and they got their guns. They had two guns, and they had 400 bullets. And he said, they came and said, they said, tonight the gundas will come. And he said, how many? He said, 200. He goes, okay, go back and tell them I have 400 bullets. So he said, tell them to come. He said, tell them I have 400 bullets, so you tell them. Yeah? Two each. And the gundas didn't attack. They didn't come. Because they warned, he said, you come, I'll shoot all of you. So that's the mood. We should have that mood. What's that?
They did attack, and there was one.
Not on that night, they didn't attack. Oh. They did attack on a different.
The lady, she was so strong.
Yeah, she held on to the pillar.
Yes, she said, you kill me before you go to the deity.
That should be the moon. Any other point?
In this word to word translation, it says Radha was Krishna's younger brother.
Yeah.
Do you know?
No, I've never heard.
Is Gada represent Krishna?
I don't know. Yeah, I've never heard.
Mm.
Not sure.
He's also called Gada.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never heard of Gada. He must have a younger brother. I was thinking about it, but I can't work out. Unless he's like a cousin brother or something. The heads of soldiers fighting on chariots, horses and elephants fell to the ground by the millions. Some heads wore earrings and helmets, others turbans. Lying all around with thighs, legs and fingerless hands, along with hands clutching swords, clubs and bows, and also the heads of horses, donkeys, elephants, camels, wild asses and humans. So, the description is very vivid. The Yadus were shooting their arrows, you know, Balaram, like that, taking arrows and shooting. So, like the other Kshatriyas were, like, you know, picking up their arrows, and they just cut their fingers off with the arrow, like shot their arrow, and then their fingers just. So then they couldn't pick up their arrows or like that. So the point is, they were so precise in their service. Because when we serve Krishna, we have to, how do you say it? It's like
full enthusiasm.
Yeah, full enthusiasm, but yeah. When sometimes we're looking around, we see the devotees doing service, like, you know, the devotees now, congregation. So how do you know, like, who are the more advanced devotees? Who are more attached to Krishna? It's by attention to detail. Right? It's when we do our service, we're so attentive to the details. And you see many devotees. I see when they're doing service, they jump master me and things. Such nice service they're rendering to Krishna. Yeah, anyone can offer some service. Anyone can cook something. And then sometimes you see the devotees, they cook so nicely. And they decorate so nicely. Just like that devotee. What's her name? Rohini. Huh? Remember when I got married, you made that cake for me and Atuya, and you decorated it? How long did it take you to decorate that cake?
I didn't have time to look at the watch.
It must have been like 3 hours or something, right? It's peacock. Mm-hmm. Peacock. Right? So she decorated for us as a gift for our wedding, and she made the peacock cake. So much did. How long was it? The tail was like this, right? It goes like whole tail. It must have taken like hours, I think. Hours. To, you know, make all the tail and all the detail and the icing. So much devotion. Right? And then we all ate it in like hours and hours and hours. And then we all just ate it like in a couple of minutes. Right? So that is bhakti. That is devotion. That is attention to detail. Anyone can make a cake. But then who would decorate it for someone for 3 hours? That means there is attachment. So this is what is being shown here. Whenever we do service, we must do attention to the detail. So Balarama, and they're so attentive to protect Krishna that every arrow is being used to strike the enemy. It says actually in the battle of Kurukshetra, not one of Arjuna's arrows missed their target. Not one. And he fired millions of arrows, but not one missed, right, in 18 days. That's how attentive he was to serving Krishna. Right? Sometimes we think Krishna consciousness means, oh, you just think of Krishna all day. Do you think Arjuna was thinking of Krishna on the battlefield? Right? He was thinking, no, I have to kill him, I have to kill him, I have to kill him, I have to win this war on behalf of Krishna and Yudhishthira. That is bhakti. Bhakti means when we're doing our service, we do it to the best of our ability. Yeah? That is bhakti. Not that we're inattentive. That's why we say inattentive chanting. That's our main problem, is our inattentive chanting. But when you become serious and more advanced, your chanting is attentive. Can you imagine an advanced devotee chanting inattentive? No. And why do we chant inattentively? Because we're not serious enough about our service. So here we see, they're showing us perfect service in the Bhagavatam. So, any points?
I have seen Satyananda Swami's chanting very intense. In Germany as well.
Any other point? Serving their armies, being struck... seeing their armies being struck down by the Vrishnis, who were eager for victory, the kings headed by Jarasandha were discouraged and left the battlefield. So Prabhupada says we should never feel discouraged. Why do we feel discouraged in our service sometimes? Right? Because we're attached to the result. Because we want the result to go a particular way. Sometimes we'll experience in our service, Krishna wants us to fail. Sometimes we do a lot of service and then it doesn't work out. Why is that? Maybe that's how Krishna wants it on that occasion. Maybe he wants to teach you something or do something or however that is. So we should not become discouraged. No matter what takes place, we just keep doing our service. That is called nishtha. And Prabhupada said that is the qualification to become a brahmana or second initiated in ISKCON. You have to become steady and fixed. You don't become discouraged. You do your service regardless.
As they say, failure should be prepared to success.
Yeah.
Our Guru Maharaj said never give up.
Never give up. The kings approached Shishupal, who was disturbed like a man who has lost his wife. His complexion was drained of color, his enthusiasm was gone, and his face appeared dried up. The king spoke to him as follows. So, what happened when he lost Rukmini? Became completely Drained. Yeah. Lost all of his enthusiasm. The point is that he never had Rukmini. So what did he lose? Nothing. So where was the attachment? Right? It was in the mind. Because in the mind we become attached to something. Has that ever happened to you?
Yes.
Right? You're so attached to something and then it gets taken away and then you cry and cry and cry. Right? But you never had the thing anyway. But that's the nature of the material energy. We all experience this when we're young. You know, we became attached to girls, girls became attached to boys. And then when we lost that boy or that girl, we used to cry so much. Do you remember that? No one had it?
Yeah.
I had it. Yeah, Yogi had it. Natasha?
No.
Yeah, so three of us had it. I remember I cried. My girlfriend left. I cried so much. I was depressed for 6 months. 6 months, like depressed. Wasn't myself for 6 months. Right? And we went to the same school. So it was like torture. Because every day I'd see her, and then, you know, she didn't like me anymore, and then I'd be, oh. And then my best friend became, they became boyfriend, girlfriend. And then every day I'd see them together, and I'm like, oh. And I said to my mother, I want to change schools. You know, I don't want to go to this school anymore because I see her every day. My mother said, no, you have to go to this school. Yeah. So my life was miserable. It was material attachment. All in the mind. But nothing was actually there. Just in the mind. Right? And now I see her. No problem. I saw her maybe 15 years ago. We went to one reunion. All the school, we came together. And then I saw her, and we're just friends. How are you? I saw her actually one time. I was doing Harinam. I'm doing Harinam. She came up to me and said, what are you doing? She said, what are you doing? I said, oh, I'm doing Harinam. I said, you want to come? He said, no, it's all right. So now, no attachment is there. I see her now, no problem. No attachment. Right. But before, so much attachment, all in the mind. So that is the nature of Maya. So Shishupala attached in the mind to Rukmini, but Rukmini does not belong to him. What is the point? No one belongs to us. That's the point. They're not ours. Now we say, my wife, my husband, my children. No, they're not ours. That's the whole point. That's what the Bhagavatam has been teaching us, all these cantos. What is that pastime? Chitraketu. The child.
Yeah.
Right, when they came, sat back up. Which father are you? I had so many fathers. Which one were you? And then he was, no one is else. Of course, we all think like that. We think, oh, my wife, my husband, my wife, like that. But no one is else. That's the point. So he became so discouraged. We should not become like that. We have to learn to advance in Krishna consciousness. Go beyond these material attachments. So.
See, we all are Lord Krishna children. So, I mean, is it okay to help everyone? Thinking they all
yeah.
In everybody.
Yeah, but then help them in the best way. It's true. It's true. The kings approached Shishupal, who was disturbed. We just read that, right? Jarasandha said, listen, Shishupal, O tiger among men, give up your depression. After all, embodied beings, happiness and unhappiness is never seen to be permanent. O king. Just as a puppet in the form of a woman dances by the desire of the puppeteer, so this world, controlled by the Supreme Lord, struggles in both happiness and misery. So we'll read the purport there. Jagannath Ram.
People.
No, because you're talking too much. You have to control your mind. Focus on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You as well, don't you start.
No, he told me, he said, make sure you read this properly. That's what he asked me to read the whole book.
By the will of the Supreme Lord, living beings are awarded the proper results of their own activities. One who understands the Absolute Truth surrenders to the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and is no longer considered to be within the material system of existence. Since those endeavoring within the material system or world are necessarily trying to exploit the creation of God, they must be subjected to reactions which are perceived by the conditioned soul as miserable and joyful. In fact, the entire material way of life is a fiasco when seen from the perspective of absolute bliss.
Any points there?
But Jarasandh, if he was so intelligent, then why didn't you realize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God?
Same philosophy, the way the Hiranyakashipu speech from even Ravana also.
Yes. Yes.
They are talking Supreme Lord, Supreme Lord. They are not recognizing that was the Supreme Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, because we see even in this world, sometimes we understand someone's position. Someone's very powerful, we understand that, but we don't like them. We're envious of them. So we understand that this person actually supplies everything. You'll see in the traditional systems that the kings and the governors and the, you know, there was people who had great power, and we knew all of that came from them. So we offer respect, but we don't like them. So Jarasandha, he knows, you know, these are very powerful people, you know, maybe even God, but we don't like them. That's just envy. And that's why the Bhagavatam says that is the disease of the conditioned soul. The disease of the conditioned soul is matsara. And a devotee has to become near matsara. We have to become free from envy. And Prabhupada mentions this, he explains this in chapter 3 of the first canto, in the purport. He says, we have to examine our heart and see if there is envy in there. And Prabhupada says, if there's envy for anyone, that means we're still envious of Krishna. And I see it in myself. I think, oh, I'm not envious of this person, I'm not envious of most people, but there's a few people I'm envious of. I see whenever they have success, or they just have good qualities or something, but I see in my consciousness there's some envy there towards them. And as long as that envy is there, then you cannot surrender to Krishna, because it means we're still envious of Krishna. We try to surrender to Krishna, we do have attachment to Krishna, but in the heart there must still be some envy there. And I've seen that, you know, different times, like when I go to on pilgrimage to Vrindavan. Vrindavan is where everything becomes magnified. So I've seen, I go to Vrindavan and then I'm thinking, you know, my heart is becoming purified and I'm becoming more attached to Krishna. And then when I go to Vrindavan, some places I go to, particular places, and then Krishna like shows, no, actually, your heart is full of lust and envy. I see it all manifest there, and I think it will. So even though we know that Krishna is God, we all know Krishna is God, like Jarasandha, but still we're envious of Krishna. Not as much as Jarasandha. But that's the nature of the conditioned soul.
Maybe Jarasandha thought that Brahmadev and Lord Shiva are Supreme Lord. Maybe they don't want to accept Lord Vishnu as Supreme Lord, the demons. They think Brahma
is also, Brahma. Yeah. Well, sometimes they do understand Vishnu is supreme also. Sometimes.
But they think Vishnu is the enemy of the demons.
Yeah. So a devotee sees everything differently. Yeah. Because Jarasandha He was defeated by Krishna. So sometimes we go through difficulties in devotional service, but we see that as coming from Krishna. We see that's Krishna's arrangement. Sometimes we're successful, sometimes we're not successful. We see that's Krishna's arrangement. Well, sometimes, you know, you're going a particular direction, but Krishna doesn't want you to go there. So then he makes some arrangement. That's Krishna's arrangement. That's how a devotee sees. Jarasandha couldn't see like that. Right? 17 times. Right? He fought with Krishna, but each time he thought he would come back again. He couldn't see it was Krishna's arrangement. He couldn't see the actual lesson to be learned. And he actually tells them, he said, the 18th time I won. I was victorious the 18th time. He wasn't victorious, Krishna just ran. Went to find Muchakunda. So he didn't actually defeat him, but he's telling everyone, oh, I defeated him. He was scared of him.
I think he went to the mountain. And
and Jarasandha surrounded him.
You killed my...
Yeah, he thought he killed him.
Is that when he became famous?
No.
First, yeah, it is. Yeah. When did he become famous?
I think when he ran from
Kaliyama.
Yeah, Kaliyama. Then he called it one show there, YOYO.
Yeah, that's the same pastor.
I thought it was two.
It was
one. But didn't it go?
Oh, yeah, two. 2 times it happened.
Both brothers filling the water?
Yeah. Any other points?
No, I think
that
Jarasandha was actually worshipping Vishnu, but he was envious of Krishna.
Could be.
Some
devotee
actually
quoted
that. He was worshipping Vishnu, but he was always
envious of Krishna. Yeah, could be that. Conditioned souls are complicated. Prabhupada said simple for the simple and complicated for the complicated. Hands up if you're complicated. Yeah, well, yeah, we're complicated. Yeah, we make it very difficult to surrender to Krishna. I can surrender to Krishna, but it has to be like this and like that and like that. And Krishna, if you do this, then I'll surrender and like that. And just make sure I never see that person ever again. And I will surrender to you. And make sure that person never speaks to me and I will surrender to you. It's like that. You know, we make all the, it becomes very difficult to surrender to Krishna. I'll come to the temple, but only if I don't see that devotee and that devotee and that devotee. We make it very complicated along the way. And I see that. Actually, all these things are Krishna's tests. I'm seeing there's one devotee at the moment by the arrangement of something higher. There's some problem between us now. Like that. And in my heart, there's no feeling like that. I don't want a problem, but some problem has arisen. And a devotee in the congregation. So then I can see it's a test from Krishna. I'm trying to see it like that. You know. But sometimes when I come to the temple, I hope I don't see him. Not because I don't like him, but just because it's complicated. You know, I don't want to see him. But then I think, actually, Krishna wants me to go even a step beyond that. That I'll see him, and in my mind, I'll just offer obeisances in the mind. That's a higher level like that. So it's Krishna's testing us. How will we react? How will we respond to all these situations? So these are tests that comes from Krishna. And sometimes we think, why can't it all just be easy and normal? The material world is not like that.
But see, even now, there's so many people, they think Lord Vishnu is higher than Krishna. They don't, accept that Krishna is the
Prime. No. Krishna is the original.
Yeah, but they don't accept it.
They don't accept it.
Yeah, but they say that reference from Bhagavad.
Tell them to come to Bhaktivedanta class. In battle with Krishna, I and my 23 armies lost 17 times. Only once did I defeat him. So what do we learn from Jarasandha?
No, yes.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Imagine you come back 17 times. You've got to be determined. Either two things, you're determined or you're completely crazy. And no one does that. Who comes back 17 times? It's like I knock on your door and you open the door and say, get out of here, and you shut the door. And I come back again and I say, knock, and then no, that, and 17 times, who does that?
Maybe because of
his daughters. Either you're totally crazy or...
Maybe because of his daughters, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, there's many reasons in why he did it, but he showed there's a good lesson there to be learned. And Prabhupada explains it. Sarangi Kashyapu is our guru. Now, not in every way, but in some ways he teaches us things. Prabhupada says you can take gold from a dirty place. Chanakya says. And if you find gold and it's all dirty, you just wash it and then it's gold. You take it. Or if you see gold, you take it. It's the same thing. If Jarasandha is teaching us something, we take it. We don't take everything he does, but we take it. But still, I never lament or rejoice because I know this world is driven by time and fate. Nila Gop.
Having stated that the Supreme Lord controls this world, Jarasandha explains the specific method of control. It should be remembered that in Vedic context, kala, or time, does not refer merely to a system of measuring planetary movements such as a race, weeks, months and years, but rather to the way things are being moved. Everything is moving, that includes destiny. And the destiny is also described as a time. Since everyone's destiny is revealed and imposed by the movements of time.
I told you many times, my Guru Maharaj, not long before he left this planet, he told us, he said, fate, or you can say destiny, he said, it is more powerful than us. Fate is more powerful than us. We can't stop our destiny or our fate. And he said, that is Krishna. Fate is Krishna. For a devotee. Sometimes something happens in your life, that is Krishna doing that. We can't always understand why. Even Prabhupada went through that. What's a good example?
Prabhupada's business failed.
Yeah.
Two heart attacks.
Yeah, two heart attacks. One example, he was in Los Angeles, 1970, and then some problems were there in ISKCON. And then Prabhupada said to Jamal Krishna Maharaj, he said, take me away from this place. Some Prabhupada's disciples were chanting Mayavad, preaching Mayavad philosophy and things. Prabhupada said, take me away from this place. Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, New York? They're in Los Angeles in New York. He said, no, it's not far enough. He said, the poison has spread there either. Also. And he said, I want to go to India. 97. So then Prabhupada, if you read the Lilamrita, he went to Rukmini Dwarkadish, the deities in Los Angeles. He said, we have established this big, beautiful temple. He said, I do not know why you are sending me away. But you must have a plan. Right? So then Prabhupada, he didn't want to go, but he felt like Krishna was sending him. So then he went to Japan, he went to India. And then for the next 4 years, Prabhupada spent 9 months out of the 12 months in India. Right? He just go for 3 month tour and then the rest of the time in India. And he established Mayapur, Vrindavan and Juhu, amongst many other things. And then, when Juhu was established, Prabhupada said, he said, I could not understand why Krishna sent me away from Los Angeles. He said, now he's given me a more beautiful temple. Have you been to Juhu? Mm-hmm. Most of you have been to Juhu? You know, when you see Juhu, it's so opulent. Yeah, incredibly opulent. So then Krishna had a plan. So sometimes even the Prabhupada, so sometimes in our lives, Krishna will just, our fate, our destiny will change. Nothing you can do about it. That is Krishna. Well, we always have to think, that is Krishna. Sometimes he gives you so much, sometimes he takes it all away. Who is doing that?
Krishna.
Sri Krishna Tanda Bhagavan Ki.
Joy.
That's why every day we say Hari Bol. Hari means?
One who takes everything away.
So all day you say Hari Bol. And then Krishna takes everything away, and devotees say, well, why did you do that? But we're asking him to. We keep saying, hurry, hurry, come. And now all of us, great commanders of military leaders, have been defeated by the Yadus and their small entourage, who are protected by Krishna. This would make such a good movie. Yeah, they made these into movies. I was visualizing this today. And it would be such a good movie if they could make it. Now our enemies have conquered because this time favors them. But in the future, when time is auspicious for us, we shall conquer. So sometimes we have to learn in devotional service, there's a good time to do something and not a good time to do something. What's one problem that we all have in this day and age? What's one quality that we lack?
Patience.
Very good. Patience. We lack patience. It's a fact. I see it in myself. Right? We lack patience. I want it now and I want to do it now and like that. Sometimes it's better to wait. Right? It's a lesson we have to learn. Sometimes it's better to wait. You wait some time and then you have to choose the right time to do something. So don't always be impetuous. It's hard, but I'll do it myself. I always want everything like immediately. But sometimes in devotional service, you have to be a little bit patient and things will become auspicious. Shukadev Goswami said, thus persuaded by his friend Shishupal, took his followers and went back to his capital. The surviving warriors also returned to their respective cities. Powerful Rukmi, however, was especially envious of Krishna. He could not bear the fact that Krishna had carried off his sister to marry her in the Rakshasa style. Thus he pursued the Lord with an entire military division. So sometimes when we're envious of someone, we don't treat them very nicely. So Rukmi is envious of Krishna, so then he chased after Krishna. And sometimes we see, we also don't treat the other devotees very nicely because we are envious of them. So. Okay. Frustrated and enraged, mighty armed Rukmi, dressed in armor and wielding his bow, had sworn before all the kings, I shall not again enter Kundina if I do not kill Krishna in battle and bring Rukmini back with me. I swear this to you. So Rupa Goswami says, in the nectar of devotion, Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu, you should not take vows in front of the deities. You shouldn't go before the deities and say, I will do this, I will do that. Because what if the deity doesn't want you to do that? So you have to be very, very certain if you're going to take vows in front of the deities. If you say something in front of the deity, you have to do it. You can't make a vow and say, I will do this, I will do that. And then I see people do that all the time. Devotees I see do it all the time. I'll do this, I'll do that. And then they never do it. Then don't say it. Especially if you go before the deity. You have to be completely certain. And if you make a vow, you have to say to the deity, it's up to you if you desire it. Because the deity doesn't desire it. Okay.
What do you do the voluntary
peace? What is it?
He took the
vows
in front of the kings.
I'm making that point.
Thank you.
Srila Prabhupada ki.